listening to the North Peace MB Church Roundtable Podcast. For more information, visit npmbchurch.com.
Well, you are listening to the North Peace Roundtable Podcast, the Quarantine Corner. That's what I decided to call it. But yeah, it has been 1 month exactly to the day since we recorded.
Actually?
Yeah, December 17th.
Wow.
4 weeks, I guess.
Oh.
Since we recorded, but this looks a little bit different than here. We're not in our studio, and I'm actually quarantining right now because I went to the States, and here we are. I'm loving time with my family. It's great.
That's a great explanation.
Yeah. That's right. Day six. We actually have a chart that we put stickers on every day. Day Aww. Six.
Tomorrow. Is that for you or your kids?
Yeah, that's a good question. Every day I just stare at that chart. Day six. Anyways, yeah, we usually do this in person in our studio in the church. And for the last few weeks, we've done only an audio one because we couldn't actually sit all together. But because I'm quarantining for another week, I said, hey, let's try it on Zoom. So here we go. You can actually see us and hopefully hear us. And if you are new to the podcast, this is episode 34, I believe. And the last one I looked, we talked about Santa Claus. So there we go. We talk about all sorts of things, but usually related to theology or the Christian life or what it means to actually follow Jesus. So I would encourage you to go back and listen to other episodes if you are new to this. So before we dive into tonight's, and actually, yeah, we're recording at night, which is odd. Usually it's like 7 in the morning. So I'm not a night person, guys. So I don't know how long I'll be.
If you drift into blasphemy, we'll just call the meeting over.
Yeah, right? Like, yeah. Is Jesus the only way? I don't know. Go to bed, Andrew. So yes, my name's Andrew. And with me, as always, is Cameron.
Good evening, everyone. I'm glad to be back.
And Corland.
Hello, hello.
There we go. So hopefully the internet works and it's not lagged or anything like that, but we'll just make do. So how was everyone's Christmas?
Positive, to put it in one word.
I guess. I was gonna say, lot has happened. Corland got the Rona.
Yeah.
And I was in Idaho and almost part of like the Hunger Games in the United States, basically. And Cameron is going to have a new job soon, right?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So a lot has happened.
That's right.
That was like confidential, right? And not news yet?
Absolutely confidential, yeah. Andrew's a part of the Capitol invasion and Cameron's leaving Christian ministry.
Wouldn't that be funny if it was like, oh yeah, Andrew's down in the States and then you saw me in the... We decided.
The big horns.
Don't look too closely at that picture. It's actually me.
Can you believe the amount of folks? I mean, that's a side trail, but like Olympic athletes, different people of influence, FaceTiming themselves, breaking the law. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man. My half of the side of my family is American. So yeah, it was funny hearing them talk about it. Like they all think those people are out to lunch, but yeah, and showing pictures of there's the guy in Nancy Pelosi's office with his feet up on the desk. Oh man, why would you take pictures? Anyways, yeah, that's way off topic. So tonight we want to ask the question, what is faith? And Corland, actually, I don't know if you want to like dive
yeah,
in
sure.
a little bit more into that question, or because Corland's actually the one that kind of brought that up. So where did that come from?
Well, I've been doing some thinking and I realized that early on, because I was a Christian when I was a kid, like I think we've talked about our testimonies a little bit on the podcast, but I ended up walking away. But I came back, and while I was in that time period where I would almost consider myself a fresh Christian again, there was a lot of questions for me just because of having struggled with an addiction to pornography and stuff and a sexual addiction, that it was like I have faith that God we'll cover that, but like there was things that I was processing that were like, man, this is really hard to know what faith looks like here. Like what it almost felt like I didn't know which muscle to flex to get it to work better for me. Mm. And I wouldn't say that this, I don't think that we'll necessarily go into like a step-by-step on how to get faith to work better for you in your day-to-day life. Cause I think that that's between you and your relationship with God and his timing and stuff. And, but it was a question that I was asking is like, what is faith? Like I have faith, but like, how do I have enough faith is a question that I would ask, or like, do I have the right kind of faith? And like, yeah, just kind of questions surrounding that.
Hmm. That sounds like a good book title. How to get your faith to work for you or something.
How to flex your faith.
How to 10 easy faith workouts. But that's a good question. I think that unfortunately there's a lot of like Christianese that gets thrown around. And I think even you talked about that, Corland. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk, oh, just have faith, or like faith over fear. Faith over fear.
You hear it a lot in sermons. Is just yeah. Like, yeah, and we're just called to have faith. Or like you're going through a difficult time in life, and someone's like, "Well, you just got to have faith that God is doing this."
And yeah.
Like, well, and what does that actually mean?
Yeah, that's those things are true, but I think a lot of times we like say Christian things without ever. even really knowing what it means, right? Like and then we like stitch it on a pillow and we sell, you know, testaments with like different sayings on them, and we do things like that. It's just silly things that we do, and there's nothing wrong with telling someone like, hey, have faith, right? You'll get through this. But like, yeah, what does that actually mean? So beyond the, you know, the Christianese things that mm-hmm. we say, what I'm just gonna Cam, what is faith? Enlighten us. You're in seminary, right?
I think before we go there, I'd be interested, do you guys have any examples in your life of where like you maybe questioned what faith was, or like how to strengthen your faith in God?
I think so, and I think my own personal journey has been marked with really wrong ideas of what faith is, almost, and we'll probably touch on it, almost making it like it's not my fault that I don't believe because I've done everything right, or it's not my fault that I don't have enough faith is one kind of spot that I found myself in. And then the other extreme was like, I have to strive for more in order to please God or in order to be a better Christian. And so I lived most of my young life really confused about what faith was, only to arrive at a spot where my faith is not something that I'm really in control of. It's become what I've witnessed of Jesus in my life, and mm-hmm. it's always, and it's changed the scope. So like, I used to think of my relationship with God as being this kind of like pendulum that I can swing back and forth, and later realizing I've almost removed myself from the equation a little bit. So faith like has become like, I just trust that God is good. And the outcome of that is actually so varied. And I think that as Christians, we've kind of landed the outcomes on an expression of faith or like evidence of faith, but not the source. Yeah. And I think that's kind of where I got into a lot of trouble. And the evidence of faith rested in the outcome, not in the source of where, you know, a wrong view of God. And kind of a complicated answer, but it's such a difficult thing to land on. I just know for myself personally, I've really, growing up in that kind of charismatic evangelical movement, faith was always produced by the outcome that you had before you. And that was evidence of your faith being proper or not.
So like the result of your, like, say you were praying for a situation to turn out well in your favor or something like that, and if it did, that would show that your faith was correctly handled. Is that kind of what you're saying? Or,
well, I think that's, yeah, like, you know, the word of faith movement, unfortunately, is kind of like, you know, you're sick, well, if you pray and if you have enough faith, So it's almost like faith is this measurable, you know, quantity type thing, which I'm actually not convinced that it is. It's like, if you have enough like measurable faith, well, then you'll be healed. And then if you're not healed and, or your grandma still dies or whatever the scenario is, well, you just didn't have quite enough faith. Mm-hmm. So faith is in that kind of movement, or it's kind of measured by, yeah, like the outcome, right? So yeah, like if certain things happen, well, that proves that, well, that guy has enough faith. Or if things don't happen, well, he just didn't have quite enough faith. Yeah.
And that's where I think the faith conversation has gotten so muddied, in that, you know, the faith should be that God is good and his will is good. Mm-hmm. And the outcome of that is irrelevant to mm-hmm. the faith that you have that God is good. And that's kind of the big Christian ethics or morality tension, is that how is a good God still letting grandma die before her time, or a child die despite our prayers? And so
yeah,
I feel like we've put faith in a place where it was never intended to be, and we've now have this whole church Christian worldview based on, yeah, this faith muscle that you flex, or this thing that you mm-hmm. This vat that you have to fill up of faith, where we see kind of the opposite in scripture, and we actually see more examples of, I know nothing of you, but I have faith in what you can do, like the centurion soldier, and countless examples of, these are not educated people deep in the faith, Bible reading, God understanding, close to Jesus. These are people who once heard the woman with the issue of blood.
Right.
I just know somehow, unexplainable, not of my own doing, that you are the healer, and now I'm healed, and your faith has made you well. That pushes against all of our Christian concepts of what faith could be, and then our place in that faith. So
I heard, we'll look at a few passages here, but one, I can't remember who it was, I think, but it was a few years ago. He said, our North American view, and it's come up a few times, we view faith as kind of like this muscle mm-hmm. that you have to flex. Right. And it's like you exercise your faith and you kind of get stronger in your faith. And he said, faith is not a muscle that you flex, but it's a lens that you see through. So it's kind of like a worldview issue. Right. And he pointed to some of the things that you just said, Cam, like if faith is like a muscle that you flex and you have to work at it and get better at it, then the centurion, the example of the mm-hmm. centurion in Matthew 8 makes no sense, because Jesus says no one in Israel has as much faith as this guy, and he's not even he believed in God, but he wasn't even a Jew, he wasn't even mm-hmm. like a right, and Jesus says, man, that guy, no one has more faith than that guy. Or even like the Canaanite woman who you know, has this interaction with Jesus, and he says, man, that lady's faith is like, but she wasn't even a believer. And like, I like that you brought up the woman with the blood, because she had this kind of weird, if I just touch his coat, like I'll be, it was like a superstitious type of faith. And he says, hey, your faith has made you well. So I remember going, man, that's so true. I think we have a wrong view when we think like, faith is this muscle that I kind of got to work out and get better at, and then I see results. I think faith is more connected to like our biblical worldview. Mm-hmm. It's this kind of lens that you see through. And sure, if you want to talk about maybe the lens becoming clearer, right? Sure. Like as you understand more of the gospel and your view of Jesus is more, whatever you want, robust and like developed, then sure, your lens is clearer. Sure. And is that you growing in faith? Yeah, it could be. But I think we so connect it to like, yes, look at my like faith workout. And I'm not sure that that's biblically how we should view it, right?
I would definitely agree with that, because we tend to use faith as like our leverage to get a situation to happen better than what it might without it. So sure. like like we would pry really hard on our faith. And if it failed, then we'd say, well, my faith wasn't strong enough to lift that, instead of being like, oh, well, maybe God just didn't want that move, right? Like maybe that wasn't God's plan. And it's interesting that we do that as Christians, because one, it's not what we see in the Bible. But secondly, even if you just use faith in a like world context, like for me, as I worked as a mechanic for a lot of years, I used a torque wrench where I had to torque some things very, very tight. And there was times where I'd be bouncing off of the torque wrench in with like full body off the ground. And I had to put faith in the torque wrench or the socket that it wouldn't slip off of what I was doing. But my faith wasn't the torque wrench itself. I just knew like it was a factual thing that the frictional forces would keep it on there. So I think that we look at faith as the torque wrench, so to speak, as the object that we can use to pry things to our will or to conform to the way we'd like it, when instead our faith should be in the object itself, in God, who can actually make those events happen.
The basic definition of faith is a complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Mm-hmm. And so, Andrew, as you mentioned, this, what may feel like faith growing is actually not faith at all. It's in relationship with Jesus and this maturing relationship and love relationship. Your confidence in that relationship and your trust in that God is who he says he is and will be all the time is what's going to feel like a maturing of faith. When, because we also see the exact opposite, come to me as children over and over. And often we think that that is this kind of like naiveness or this like foolishness almost, but really it's not, because as you were speaking, I was thinking of this parenting metaphor, which we've touched on before. My children have faith in me that I will love them tomorrow, even though there could seem like harsh discipline today. Mm-hmm. And my children in their childness has said, I hate you. But then at bedtime, it's a big hug and kiss and tender love. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like it's kind of how Christians, how we are encouraged, like Jesus wants us to run with this full-blown emotion, full-blown raw relationship, but also knowing like we have confidence in that, and the longer we spend in that relationship, that confidence grows and that trust grows. But so that's just it, and we can't ignore that. You know, we see evidence throughout scripture and throughout our lives and the lives of everyone around us where God's will does not align with what we thought should be, what we hoped would be. I feel like that shouldn't be a faith conversation at all. The faith is secure in that his will is good and we know he loves us. Yeah. That's where we should That's be true. Focusing. Any attempt at greater faith must begin with a closer relationship to Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was really well said.
Well, it was okay said, really. I'm just kidding.
Soon I'll be the only one not in Christian ministry. So. Yeah.
That's true. Oh, are you worried about that? Everything's Christian ministry. And I like that you said that, because I actually was kind of flipping through the book of Matthew today. And there's several times where Jesus says to his disciples, like three early on in the book, like, oh, you of little faith. Like, and it's interesting. Every time that he says that, it's during a time when they're like completely distracted from who Jesus is or what he's capable of, which is really interesting to me. So I don't think he's saying like, oh man, if you could just have more faith. So the first time is in Matthew 8, when they're in the storm, if you remember that story. We're perishing and mm-hmm. Jesus is asleep in the boat, which is pretty amazing. And they wake him up and he's like, save us, we're perishing. And then he says to them, why are you afraid, oh, you of little faith? And then he rose and rebuked the winds and there was a great calm and they marveled. So lots of people would say like, oh, see, they just didn't have enough faith. Mm-hmm. But I think they were just, it was almost as if they were so distracted by the storm like that they forgot, like, oh yeah, Jesus is with us, right? So it's like their eyes were off of Jesus, because earlier, like right before that, he had healed Peter's mother-in-law. He had healed everyone in the crowd that came to them. And then they get into a boat and it's like they completely forgot about everything that he had done. And like, oh, we're all going to die. And Jesus says, oh, you have little faith. So I don't think it was a, you know, oh, you're at 40% faith and you need like 90. It was that their eyes were just off of Jesus.
And then, it could have been written in several different ways. And it may have happened in several different ways where it's like, do you guys forget, like you said, who I am?
Yeah.
Do you forget what just happened?
But every time it's the same. Like in Matthew 14, there's another storm and Peter walks on the water and then he starts sinking because he sees the waves, right? And then Jesus says to him in verse 31, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And right before that, Jesus had fed 5,000 people. And then they get into a boat and they're like, oh, we're all going to die. It just shows how like fickle we are as humans. And so Peter is literally walking on water, right? And then he sees the waves and he starts panicking because he takes his eyes off of Jesus, I think. Yeah. And then the other time is in Matthew 17, when Jesus and the three disciples come down from the mountain and the disciples are like, we can't cast this demon.
Yeah, yeah.
We can't cast him out. It's impossible. And Jesus says the same kind of thing. Oh, faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? And it's like they were so distracted by this boy that's throwing himself in the fire and he has epilepsy and all this stuff. They're like, we can't do it. Oh, the world's ending. Because I think that they just took their eyes off of Jesus. So I don't think it's like, I got to flex that faith muscle, disciples, and then you can do those things. I think it's like,
it implies then you can then control and you can then manipulate the will of God.
Yeah.
That very argument or thought process doesn't, you can't escape implying that you then have control over the God of the universe.
Yeah. So even, so if you kind of view it as this lens or this worldview and your faith is just so focused on Jesus, then even when Jesus says in Matthew 21, right, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, right? So it can't be like the mustard seed. The point of that is that it's the smallest, it's the tiny. Smallest, it's a tiny seed. So if he was trying to say like, hey, you need to have like a large quantity of faith, he wouldn't have used that. But he says, if you have faith like that, you can say to the mountain, like, be thrown in the sea, and whatever you ask in prayer, you'll receive if you have faith. And lots of people say, see, if you have like enough faith, ask for the car or the house or the healing or whatever. But I think what Jesus is saying is if you're in your life, you're just so focused on Jesus, you will receive what you ask for in prayer, because everything you pray will be like, you know, your will be done, Jesus, your kingdom come. It's not about me. I just want you to be Lord. So you will get what you want, because what you want will be what Jesus wants, right? So,
and it only works if you, it only, that system of prayer only works if you cut out the picture of the car or the dress and you put it on your fridge, or if you make the poster board of your year.
It's called a vision board, my friend.
That's awful, and I apologize to anyone listening who focuses on vision boards.
It's, don't make a vision board.
You know, one of the funniest memes I've seen in a long time was from a Christian website, and it had one of the disciples waking up Jesus, the storm's coming, we're all gonna die, and he just rolls over and says, tell him I work in mysterious ways. I'm going back to bed.
Just tell him I work. Oh, that's so good.
But yeah, for new Christians, I think this can be a difficult topic because of there being so much cultural information around, like, hey, you just have to have more faith, right? Like, like we explained, it's not about the amount, it's about who your faith is in.
Yep.
And that's incredibly important to remember, because if you're searching for healing, your healing is not going to come from your faith itself. It is going to come from God, who your faith is in.
Yeah.
And that's
not quantitative at all. It's just it's just present.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's there's no.
And I think we forget too, like Ephesians 2 tells us like our faith in God is actually a gift from him.
Right.
So to say that like, yes, I'm level 10 faith and Corlin's only level 7. That's just so silly to think like I think to use the language of like, I'm growing in my faith. Maybe that's not the right, like I'm growing in my knowledge of the gospel. I'm growing in my walk with Jesus. But then we kind of, we're creating these levels where it's kind of like, well, what, I think it's just maybe the wrong type of language to use.
So what language would you, like, out of curiosity, would you use around that? Because I was actually just going to ask that. Like, do you think we still can grow in our faith? Or do you think that it should be different language?
Well, I think we can grow because, I mean, the New Testament talks lots about, like, growing in your knowledge of who Jesus is.
So we just wipe off that lens a little bit more.
Maybe. Yeah, and I think the gospel becomes clearer and we become more obedient to who to what Jesus would have for us. Mm-hmm. But I think the language of like just grow in your faith, unfortunately in North America, we equate that with like stuff that I can like the word of faith, prosperity stuff is just so cancerous in North America that whenever I hear stuff like, oh, just grow in your faith, it's always connected to like, so that you can get stuff out of it, which is like, so I don't know if, and maybe it's not bad to say grow in your faith, but I think to say like, okay, are you growing in your knowledge of who Jesus is, like in the word, right? Or are you growing in your obedience to Jesus? That's a way to put it maybe.
Because again, to imply growing in faith means an increase of faith, which I don't believe is possible. It's only just an increase of confidence in the faith that you already have. Faith being given as a gift, much like salvation. So the Holy Spirit has removed the blinders from our eyes, has allowed our hearts to accept the saving knowledge of Jesus. That saving knowledge can only be adopted by faith. We have to have faith that Jesus is who he says he is. So that gift of salvation comes with faith. And then it's only then through, like we talked about a number of episodes, this process of righteous living and sanctification that we then grow in our spiritual maturity, grow in our confidence of who Jesus says he is. And we can only do that through living the gospel, through reading our Bible. And I've been challenged by that actually by a guy, Jared Braun, who preached the other week, who had said he's in his third year of just reading the scripture through a Bible reading plan. And so I joined this year and we're reading through Job right now. And I'm reminded of like, it's been a long time since I read through Job, like intentionally. Yeah, I am in seminary and I like to think that I read my Bible and do some devotions, but I've not actually, for the purpose of reading through the Bible this year, spent time in it. And there's pretty cool stuff in there when you remove the distraction and you read through a book of the Bible. And so I can only imagine that if you make that a discipline, that you're actually going to grow in your confidence of Jesus and God, because you see so many more examples and you're reminded of so many more ways where you see him fulfill what he says. But you see that through pain, suffering, through death, through trial, but yet Jesus remains constant, and that can only grow your confidence. And that's what is misinterpreted as an increase of faith. But so the faith
So here's something funny. So I Googled Bible passages about growing in your faith. And so the first one, this is funny, is 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So they say, like, here's the first hit for growing in your faith. It's grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So
And I think that that's incredibly important to recognize, is that it's knowledge based. It's not like as I've seen, I think his name, I'd butcher it if I tried to say it. It's like Art Azurdia or something like that. Some people will probably know who I'm talking about.
Art Azurdia. Sounds like a soccer player.
I don't think he was. But like what you said, it's growing the knowledge of, and he would equate that to like faith isn't a kind of spirit, like a kind of outlook on life with spirituality attached to it, or a holy hoping for the best.
Oh, like, yeah. I'm glad you keep going. I'm glad you're bringing this up. Yeah.
Like, authentic faith is the confident assurance in events not yet seen. We see that in Hebrews 11, it says that. And so like, I don't know, I might just read some of this because he words it really, really well. Just shortly after that, he says, faith is not a call to believe in things when common sense tells you not to. Faith is not a mindless stab in the dark. It's not a crossing of the fingers and hoping for the best. It's not a leap into apparent nothingness. It's a word that speaks of reasoned, careful, deliberate, and intentional thought. Thought upon what? God and his promises. So if you're absolutely gripped by the coming realities that have been promised to you by God, then how you live your life in the present will be radically different than if you did not possess that certainty. This is what faith is. Positive certainty expressed in action.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah, because I wanted to talk about Hebrews 11.
See you next week, folks. That's been the episode for today. Yeah.
Because I think, can we all say, like, the here's what faith isn't, and this is what drives me crazy, because so many people view religion and Christianity as like just blind faith. It's almost like religious faith is what it is because there's just no evidence. So
yeah,
faith
it's is kind just, of a holy hoping for the best.
Yeah, and people, and I heard one guy say, like, that's not faith, that's stupidity. If you believe in something when there's no evidence, you're stupid. And I went, exactly. Like, we view blind faith as Christianity has no evidence, but we just believe by faith. And that's actually not the definition of faith. I like what he said. Because Hebrews 11 does, verse 1 says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And I actually looked it up. I like the different translations say different things. Faith is the confidence. The King James, which I find really interesting, it says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I looked up the Greek words because I'm a geek. But yeah, the upostasis, which is assurance, confidence, those kinds of words, and the is the elenkos, I'm not saying it right, is the conviction, but really it that more so means evidence or proof. So faith is the proof of things not seen. It's not just like, oh well, I hope it's true. It's and then if you read in Hebrews 11, faith always, I shouldn't say always, there's multiple examples where faith actually begins with like reason, not just a blind kind of, I hope it happens. So in like verse 11 of Hebrews 11, it says, by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. So Sarah didn't go like, well, I hope I have a baby. It says that she considered and she thought about it and she realized that God could do that. And then it happened. So she had faith in who God was. It wasn't like, well, who knows? I hope it happens.
Go ahead. Sorry.
And then, yeah, in verse 19, same thing. Abraham, when he went to kill his son, Isaac, it says in verse 19, he considered that God was able to raise him from the dead. And so it's like Abraham thought, okay, God has done miraculous things in the past. He could probably raise my son from the dead. So by faith, I'm going to do this. And faith was based on like what God has already done, but based on like evidence and proof, not just,
yeah,
I hope so.
And I like, those are a couple of really good examples that prove, as the author that I, or the person that I just mentioned would say, like faith is not merely believing in God, but it is believing God. Like taking God at his word, living in obedience and to what he says, right? And how would you grow, quote unquote, in that is by reading his word, spending time with God so that you know who God is and you know what he would want the outcome of the situation to be, which would be his glory ultimately. And the only way you know that is by spending time with God and reading his word so that you can get to know him. I love that faith is a knowledge-based thing because it takes out the effort on our end in the sense of having to try and exercise our faith to get better at having faith to have things happen for us. Mm-hmm. It simply is something that we have because of a gift from God that he's given us so that we can see what he does and what he wants done.
So when like the New Testament says that we live by faith, and Hebrews 10 says that, I think, like that, you know, Jesus is coming back. He says, yet a little while and the coming one will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. So we're told like in this in-between time, we live by faith. And what I think that means is not like, you know, I really hope Jesus is coming back. Living by faith is, okay, we know like there's evidence that Jesus was a real person that lived. He died. He was raised from the dead. There's evidence that he was raised from the dead. So I'm going to live by faith that because those things happen, Jesus is coming back. And living by faith means like, you know, even when following Jesus is difficult or living out the Sermon on the Mount, for instance, is so countercultural, living by faith means I'm going to obey Jesus because I've reasoned that Jesus is who he says he is. So I'm going to live by faith. So I think it's just faith. Sometimes in some ways it's very multi-layered and it's, you got to wrap it, but in some ways it's just so simple. Like, that's why, you know, you have faith like a child. I know that that happened. I'm going to live by faith because I'm expecting that that will happen again. Right. It's like, it's like you said with your kids, Cam, they know that you're a good dad because of things that have happened. And so when you have a day where you have to discipline them and you want to pull your hair out, they don't go to bed going, "Dad's never going to love us again." Well, no, because they know your character, right? Like,
I'm reminded of a David psalm where he says, "Rejoy to me, or restore to me the joy of my salvation."
Yeah,
you know, don't cast me away. So when we're talking about like using reason, it's almost like, God, remind me, let me remember the confidence I felt at the joy of my salvation when I was given this ability to be confident in you because you've shown yourself to me. And so when we, and it's been misused also when we see walk by faith and not by sight, it's no, because sometimes around us, everything we can see would point to God has left me. I feel completely on my own.
Yep.
Remind me of the joy of my salvation. Remind me of the confidence I experienced when you changed my life dramatically and gave me internal hope, so that even when I don't see, even when it seems like you're not working, I know that your plan for my life is good, and that plan could mean what's in front of you, and what you see feels awful. And that's separating that, where this faith doesn't manipulate what's in front of us.
Yeah.
It's actually the source that allows us to remember what's behind us.
And I'm glad that you say that, because even biblically we see that, right? Like in the prophets, they always call the people to remember what God has done for you. And they give countless examples, right? But I'm glad that you brought that up.
Yeah. And even the verse that you just said, like we walk by faith, not by sight. It's talking about the fact that like we don't physically see Jesus right now. It's not like we don't see anything, like, right? We're so bad at that as Christians. We just take a verse and like, well, walk by faith, not by sight. Well, that's not really what it means. Like,
right. There's
lots of evidence for Jesus. You don't, anyways.
We're not blindly following him.
No, which I think is such a caricature of like Christianity. Like, oh, if you're smart and you like science and reason, then like come be an atheist. And if you're dumb and you don't want to use your brain and have blind faith, become a Christian. It's like, it's the exact opposite. Like I'm a Christian, right? And I would say I have faith because I've examined the evidence, and I go, and God is the one that does the work in you. But I don't just blindly, oh, I have no answers for anything. Well, no, of course not. There are elements when can I physically see God right now? No. So yes, that's faith, right? There are elements to it where you live by faith, like 2 Corinthians 5 says, but it's not this kind of blind, dumb. I like that one guy. Like, if you believe something because there's no evidence, that's not blind faith. That's stupidity. I think that's the best quote. And then, like, I was watching Tim Mackey is a pastor, and he did a he did a sermon about what is faith, and he gave this example of he was on the stage, and he's like, I'm trying to remember it now. He said, so if I'm standing here and I said, there's a stool behind me, and there wasn't on the stage. He said, is it faith that I'm saying there's a stool behind me, even though it's not there? And no, that's just dumb. So then he went and put a stool there, and he stood there, and everyone can see the stool now. And he said, so now if I said, like, I believe that there's a stool there, now is that faith now? And he says, why? Because you are all telling me that there is a stool there, and you can trust that. And then I kind of back up and I follow your lead and I sit down on the stool. Yeah, okay, great. So we have faith because there's evidence, right? The eyewitness accounts of Jesus, the testimony of the Bible, those are all evidences to the fact that Christianity is true and real. It's not this kind of wishy-washy, I hope the stool's there, I don't know though, like, you know what I mean? Like, I thought that was a really good illustration. So I don't know, any other thoughts? We've just nailed it. I actually have notes. I actually put some effort in tonight.
Must be nice to be in quarantine. Sorry, honey, kids, I have to go upstairs and study again for a few
Sorry, days. Guys. What's that? There's chores to do? Sorry, can't. I got a
podcast tonight. I only have 12 hours.
So how would you encourage someone who's like, I don't know, maybe bought into this, like, oh, I just have so little faith. I need to grow, quote unquote, in my faith. I don't know. How would you encourage someone who's maybe feeling a little defeated, or like, my faith is not strong enough, or whatever, you know what I mean? How would you?
I think that I would start off by reminding them that they will never be strong enough to do what they want. Like they'll never be strong enough to produce the results with their life that they want, so to speak. It sounds harsh, but I think I would remind them of the truth that like your faith is not what is going to do this. God is the one who you're trusting to do this. And that's who you have faith in. So along the lines of what we were talking, right? Like, remind them of what they know of God, or teach them of who God is and what he promises in scenarios like this, or what they might be going through, rather than try to be like, oh, well, if you hold your tongue this way, curl your right toe and do this, like, that'll give you enough faith. Like, instead of giving them a checklist to try and make things happen, rather remind them of who can make things happen.
Yeah, and then just encouraging that engagement without, and trying not to make it about, because you don't want to swing the pendulum the other way. It's like, okay, now just go and read your Bible 24 hours a day and your faith will grow. So it's going to be really dependent on the relationship and the person. So just encouraging them to watch this podcast where you can find on Northeast MB Church website and Facebook page. It would be a good platform to begin. Kidding, not kidding.
Yeah. And I think too, an encouragement would be like, all throughout, if you read Hebrews 11, the great faith chapter, you'll notice that faith often is like people's actions based on reason, based on like conclusions they come to. So it's not as if people just like, I think sometimes we view faith as, what am I trying to say? Kind of just a mental state that you have to kind of get yourself into, or an experience that you have or something like that. I think faith, a large part of it is like choices that you make, because you read Hebrews 11 and it's like, Abraham believed by faith, and so he did this, he obeyed, right? Or Joseph, he believed by faith, and so he did this. And so I would say one of the ways that you can, for lack of a better term, grow in your faith is, right, you grow in your knowledge of Jesus, but then you actually like obey him, do something about it. Don't just say, great, now I know more things. because that's the example after example in Hebrews 11. Abraham believed, and then he like did something about it. And Sarah believed, yeah, and she did something about it. And Joseph believed, and he did something about it. So I would say that when you read the word, you like read it, and then you go, okay, how do I like, either is there a command to obey? Is there something that I'm supposed to do? And then you'll begin to see, right, your relationship with Jesus grow. That's how I would encourage people. Don't view faith as just this kind of, oh, it's just a mental state I have to get into.
Yeah.
I think there's not enough that can be said about mentoring and relationship too, in a healthy mentoring partnership where, mm-hmm, you know, for me, one of the best people I spoke with was an 84-year-old guy named Bruce who, you know, had done life. And I've not spent time with Ernie Reimer, but a good buddy of mine has, mm-hmm, you know, at the church. And when you hear a person who's walked through life and can almost navigate so many of the situations you find yourself in, it almost helps your confidence and helps you get a little more grounded, where you realize it's not only happening to me. And that's something that isolation does that you might struggle with just with the scripture. So I think that I would encourage someone to find a person who's strong in their faith, who's been, you know, growing in the word and in relationship with Jesus for a long time, mm-hmm, and be vulnerable. Cause I think that, mentorship or that kind of even Christian counseling could really do well in strengthening our confidence in who God is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think something we didn't touch on just yet that I was reminded of in one of the gospels, there's that story. I think it's the same story that you were talking about, Andrew, where the disciples come and they can't drive out the demon. They're like, what do we do? And the father, Jesus is talking to the father and says, if you can't, all things are possible for the one who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief.
Yeah.
Like he talked to Jesus to ask for help where he wasn't strong enough.
Yeah.
And so with that, I think like talk to God about it. If you find yourself, and I would encourage an individual struggling with this, like pray to God, like I believe, but help my unbelief, like where I'm weak, strengthen me. Because we can list off all these different things of like, yeah, well, someone's struggling with faith. Yeah, well, God is good. God is always has a good plan. And like, we can list off all these borderline Christianese things, and yet we're not the Holy Spirit. So we are not going to give them faith by doing that. We can trust that the Holy Spirit would be working through us, but at the end of the day, it'd be the Holy Spirit. So I think a really wise place to start is to pray with them and encourage them to pray too.
Yeah.
That they would grow in their faith, so to speak.
Yeah. No, that's good. So yeah, hopefully that's been helpful to you listening. Just some good things to think about and hopefully some steps that you can take. So as always, if you have questions, Cameron, Andrew's getting sleepy. It's true. Let's wrap this up, right? but if you do have other questions that come up out of this or other topics you want us to cover, you can always email or just talk to one of us, text us, and make sure you subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or Google or all those places, YouTube. And hopefully we'll talk to you guys next week.